all about Charles Barkley's daughter, Christiana Barkley. NBA legend Charles Barkley is a doting dad to his only child, Christiana Barkley. Former NBA basketball player Charles Barkley may be a legend on the court, but to his daughter, Christiana Barkley, he's dad. Charles and his wife, Maureen Blumhardt, welcomed their only child in 1989, the same year they wed. As he entered fatherhood, he reflected on his childhood to figure out how he wanted to raise Christiana. The sports analyst has been open about his once strained relationship with his father, Frank Barkley, whom he lost touch with at a young age and later reconciled with. During a 2016 interview on In Depth with Graham Bensinger, Charles reflected on how his upbringing affected the way he parents Christiana.
"I want to be a good father," he said.
Don't look at me, keep going.
"I try to do the best that I can." Now it just sounds like I'm doing a terrible black accent.
Generic black accent.
Yeah, I could just, it's one sentence, that's all you get. "It's been difficult at times because you're always traveling. But I think she's a great kid. She's a great kid." Now that Christiana has a family of her own, she and her husband, Ilya Hoffman, have a son and daughter. Charles feels even more connected with her. "I really appreciate my daughter becoming a mom," he said in an interview with Southern Living. "Watching her do all the mom stuff. So other than holding that little man myself, watching her become a mom is just as special." Here's everything you need to know about Charles Barkley's daughter, Christiana Barkley. She was named after a shopping mall. Charles and Blumhardt welcomed Christiana in 1989, and the Space Jam star later shared the inspiration behind her name. "She's named after a mall, in fairness," Charles said in a December 2021 episode of his podcast, The Steam Room, which he hosts with Ernie Johnson. He continued, "There's a Christiana Mall in Delaware." This is such a bad impression. Damn. I could hear him. I could hear him in my head, but it's not coming through. "There's a Christiana Mall in Delaware that I always used to go by." That's how she got her name, Christiana. When Charles' co-host asked him to elaborate, he simply said, "I don't know, I just like them all."
Comrades and friends, hello. This is your Highlands Bunker podcast. I'm Rob. Welcome to whatever it is we're doing. We are in the shadow of Rockford Tower. We're behind enemy lines. We're in the belly of the Delaware Way beast. And it's always important to remember that because we're going to have a discussion about that very thing tonight. And a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we got on this kick where when people sort of are speaking and it's obvious they're explaining a true aspect of the Delaware Way, we were going to ring the bell, to ring the fucking bell. And I've been talking about getting this nickel-plated bell from India, and it looks like a turtle. And yeah, I got it. So get fucking ready.
Thing is fire. And this is the turtle gang in here. We all love turtles.
Yes,
in here.
Yes. So let's introduce our guests. First is our comrade and friend, a returning champion, for real, Medina. Hello, Medina.
Hey, listeners.
Super producer Carl is here, as always. And then back by popular demand, the candidate for Senate District 1, Riley Figliola.
Hello.
She's back. She's running as a nonpartisan. On February 15th, we're all going to go out, and I am voting for Riley. But we didn't have enough time last time, I don't feel like.
It happens.
It does happen, but we did not have enough time. So what we want to do is sort of like kind of bear down on it, and here's where I'm coming from. I'm going to lay this out right from the beginning. Obviously, everybody knows what I think and what we think of the process of the status quo Democratic Party, the corporate sort of bullshit, all of that. We all know what we think of that. And so obviously anyone who is sort of challenging that or trying to rain on that parade, I'm behind it. However, people are very, what did I say earlier? They're sort of like extremely suspicious and...
reasonably so.
Reasonably so. Also a little bit paranoid, unreasonably so, I would say. But they see somebody coming out of nowhere and are just worried.
Yeah.
So before we start talking about anything, I'm sure you've heard that now over the past 3 or 4 days since you've been on, since you've been out and meeting more people. So how do you feel about just the last few days?
Let's see. I've gotten phone calls from old friends that were like, you know, we really support you. I'm not going to vote for you, but we really support you. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of figured as much. But, you know, their answers were not, they were, the answer I got on 2 out of the 3 occasions of people that actually live in my district was, it's not that we don't like you, it's that you're too radical. And I'm like,
did they explain? Because my question when I hear, because this probably will not come as a surprise to you. I get that sort of feedback a lot myself. Did you ask them to elaborate on that?
No, because once somebody has that point of view, especially somebody that knows you, like if somebody were from an outside perspective, like I would argue the point, but there's no, when you know somebody and they think you're too radical, you're not going to convince them that they need to actually be more radical themselves, right, is the best way to put it.
Well, let me ask you this.
I could if I had hours, but yeah.
But this is a good question, and maybe you've thought about this. I think it would be enlightening. When they say that to you, what do you assume they mean?
I think they mean that I'm more than willing to buck the established way of things, like how things go here, and I think that there's this big fear right now. I think we talked about it last week where, you know, our whole, and I didn't articulate it very well, like our whole lives, you know, the Republican Party has demonized, you know, they've changed it. Used to be woke. Now it's DEI. Before that, it was, you know, there's all these buzzwords. We cancel culture. We know what they want to say. Yeah. Political
correct.
Yeah. Bill Maher. Kiss my ass. Ugh. But anyway,
he can die. We'll pause there. Bill Maher can kick rocks with flip-flops and then fall off a cliff.
I'm not
and die.
Gonna, I think we're all behind.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. Agreed. But so, like, our whole lives that we were told the Republican Party by the Republican Party that, you know, trans people, black people, immigrants, name the list of anyone that's not cisgender, heterosexual, and white. And as somebody that did identify as all three of those at one point. I still am one. But like it was ingrained. And then on the other side, you have the Democrat Party that says, well, if you don't vote for us, the Republicans are going to get you. But that only works for so long when they don't do anything with their power. Yeah, like they offer, it's, I was talking to somebody earlier and it's like, okay, we look at the Democrat Party, especially here in Delaware, but it kind of amped up on a national scale with our last president, because a lot of people, you know, when I talk to them, I'm like, you forget, Joe Biden is a Delaware Democrat. He took that way of life with him into the White House. But it's kind of like looking at the Democrat Party, and this is no offense, because I know you are a Democrat. It's kind of like
she's
asking.
I just want to tell you right now, Medina's so offended right now.
She's looking at me.
Yeah.
I'm clutching my pearls, my Democrat pearls.
I apologize.
She's so mad right
not
now.
My party.
Oh my God. But it's like asking a narcissistic parent to save you from a physically abusive parent. Neither seem to be very good.
Yeah, I would put it this way. Just like this week,
which one is which?
If you think the Democrat Party is a narcissistic parent,
yeah, okay, that's
and
what,
oh yeah, no, I think that's
abusive.
Right.
Yeah, Democrats are like, well, have you thought about me?
Exactly.
And yeah, how I feel when you get beat.
Yeah, well, that's the Harris campaign, right? It's like we don't.
That's a really good
whenever people reflect on the Harris campaign, I just think of something that Jess wrote, and that she read as an intro to the podcast we did after it. And she, and I don't remember the line leading up to it, but then she was like, and then we never said what we would do different from that old man. Yeah. And it was like the perfect thing to say.
Okay, look, so I've had some time to think about it. I do know what we would do differently. Okay. We, Democrats, we text. We will text you something like, Obama, we have to mobilize forcefully. So we are fighting to flip the House majority today. Link, WinBlue USA, stop to end.
Did you get that today?
I got that while I was sitting in this chair.
Oh, my God. Well, the thing I was going to say is, if anybody's been sort of following the news a little bit, like, if you want to know what, like, the – and this is applicable to Delaware, to the establishment Democratic Party. If you want to know what Dan Cruz, what our friend Ted Cruz is going to do,
every time we do that,
or what Ray Siegfried's going to do, like, just look at what Chuck Schumer's doing right now. Look at what Hakeem Jeffries is doing. And if you think as a boomer goddamn lib in Delaware, if you think that's sufficient, which you probably don't because you're on MSNBC, you're mad. You're mad at this Trump. You want articles of impeachment. So if that's how you feel, then you can obviously see that the establishment Democrat is a feckless, impotent fool.
Period.
End of discussion.
Mm-hmm. And
so you should already be sort of part of this. You should be ready for something like this. So that's sort of where we're coming.
Yeah,
I
hate to go Thanos with it, but
ooh.
I'm an inevitability.
Oh,
like sooner or later, somebody like, and I've said this to other people when they're arguing the point. They're like, "Well, how do I know?" Well, you don't. At the end of the day, I'm more left than the Democrat Party. I have every reason to my existence of life shows that I am more left than the Democrat Party. But on its face, what if the next person is trying to shift the Overton window to the right?
Mm.
Because it can't keep going as it is now. You have Working Families Party, you have dissenting Democrats that are like this, you know, you look at just in the 20 minutes I've known you, I can appreciate that you're like, fuck the system.
For the listener, before we turn the mics on,
yeah,
Riley was like, do you know who I am? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, are you okay, like, doing an interview with me?
I wanted to make sure.
And I was like, obviously you don't know who I am because I don't care about party politics like that. I'm not going to not sit here because you're running as a third party candidate.
Yeah, I mean, Riley did mention that to me, like, in a text message when we were talking about it, and I think you said something to the effect of like, "Well, we're going to bash the Democrats." I'm like,
"Yeah,
that's the point."
But I appreciate the conscientiousness, like that. I do appreciate that.
I do too. And it was just so funny because you said, and I think it's true, just your existence and deciding that you're going to take control of your voice and do something in public, that is actually a radical act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an idea. And actually, it's the same for you, black hijabi woman who is going to go and get kicked out of the vice president's fucking thing. For real. Because it's important, because it's correct. And so the idea of being too radical, I understand it, and to me that's good. People are very complacent. This is the reason that we're – it's funny because the same people who don't like where we are as a country are like, you're too radical.
Yeah.
Well, that's a contradiction.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know, so.
Yep. Bars.
Well, I do want – before we get too far afield, I do want to say something else that you mentioned before we turn the microphones on.
I'm really
because I think it's interesting just to see what you're not even and it's not a quiz or anything because I don't care about that stuff. But You said that over the past couple of days, you've been brushing up on legislative information. So can you give us, like, what has stuck out as something, even if it's, like, not important, what has stuck out as something, so like, what are they doing again?
So we'll do the what are they doing again. I really love that. I think the two pieces of legislation are tied to each other. They're both out in the Senate right now. It's $3,000 per year per horse of anyone who has adopted a former police horse for farrier.
I saw that, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, my first question is, how many fucking horses do we have? Because if there's 100 retired police horses and we're more or less funding $300,000 of the Delaware budget, you know, towards these horses for people to have pretty pet horses. Like, no offense, I love animals, I love horses, they need their health care. But to say that a horse isn't a luxury is coming from...
Also, it's the police horse.
It's the police
horse. It's, like, you know, it's the worst horse.
If anything...
Y'all are trying to get me canceled for real. This is like...
Did you raise that? Are you a co-sponsor?
Like, I feel like
are
this was a planted... You planted that one.
No.
Do we you did, like that?
You want to talk about cops and horses with me? Next bill.
Next bill.
Hold on. Did you, next bill.
Does ACAB include bill, Mr. Man. Ed? That's the next real question.
Bill. Next bill.
That's awesome.
Next
okay,
bill.
Next bill that I believe
come on.
That I believe ties with that bill. And I think that they're sisters.
Oh,
is,
God. I'm walking
your,
out.
She got you.
I didn't even mean to do that
That's
to
awesome.
You. The next bill that kind of I feel like ties to it is, you know, like reducing property taxes for small farms. But in the bill, it didn't list what a small farm like dictates. So is a small farm somebody with a huge acreage plot that has a couple of chickens and they want reduced taxes? Like, are they planting row crops? Are they raising? Do they have a chicken house that goes to commercial food? Because if it's just somebody with 10 acres with a big field and one of those fucking Clydesdales that are retired getting $3,000 a year on
Stop.
It, then that is not a farm that deserves to have a reduction in taxes. Of 10 acres.
I assume, you know, it's mostly hearing, farms, and maybe I'm wrong about this.
I'm hearing a committee member that would have great questions. Like, I mean,
well,
you sound yeah. like, you sound
and
like
I will
a,
say this,
a
like,
gifted
I,
committee
I
member.
I assume most of the farmers who are like that are producing chickens for the big
for producers. Purdue or for yeah,
yeah so it's just like yeah we want so we got to deal with them we got to deal for our horses because we take care of them we got this subsidy for the
yeah,
other
as
thing
long
yeah,
as
there's a lot of struggling farmers
yeah as
like,
long
no,
as
there really are
the, yeah and I just, agree with that that's where I'm yeah. like
the
I want there to be delineation of what you count as a farm
right
if they have row crops I don't care if they're even planting themselves or if they're doing a co-op with another farmer who uses their combines and equipment and gives a percentage of the crop. That's fine as well, because as long as it's creating food to go into our, you know, agricultural
system.
Yeah,
we want to encourage that.
I want to encourage that, and I want to give farmers a break. But I want you to define what a goddamn farmer is before I start, you know, going out, you know, signing off on a bill that, you know, gives them a tax break in a state that already has very low taxes for property.
You're too radical.
Oh, there's another one.
Are they too radical?
I want to know what Dan thinks.
Hold on. Too radical? Do you think somebody who's just trying to help regular people is too radical?
Yep.
The build that's up, part of it. The build up of we're all like pulling away.
Yeah.
I'd like to bring up like a little piece of news that I read that's sort of like relevant to this thing. So... there's been a big push in the last couple of years, or at least I've read that there's been a big push about like how people sort of double dip on the state.
Mm.
And in some fashion, I don't really mind that. Like I worked part time for a school district for a while doing like maintenance and painting and plumbing and stuff. And if like you're a truck driver and then you're a bus driver, if you're this, like I don't really mind about that. It's mostly like cops and politicians and then getting like imprimatur like roles in Dell Tech or whatever. So there is some legislation to try to check and control this idea of people sort of taking a little too much from the government. Pete Schwarzkopf. We should call it the anti-fucking Pete Schwarzkopf bill. Anyway. Dale Norwood, Newark historian, esteemed. Professor. Esteemed. He's esteemed. I think, I mean, he's, here's a little thing. He's Harvard educated.
Oh.
Harvard educated. Mm. Yeah.
I know. So you know who else? Kaczynski.
I was going to say Ava, Principal Ava from
I know. He's our friend and comrade, so we can't say too much about it, but he's Harvard educated.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He put a little note on social media. He said, I'm reading this amendment to the bill about double dipping, and I see that Kim Williams has introduced an amendment to exempt higher education facilities. So it's like the University of Delaware and Del Tech and Del State are basically probably, if they're not a majority, that are plurality, they might be 80% of this like double dip thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, and of course, they're trying to do the thing, but then exempt 80% of the people.
Yeah,
out of it.
I don't know about
like,
that.
That's classic. That's classic.
Yeah.
That's classic. Come on.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. I don't think they should. As a former UD adjunct faculty member.
Yes. This is good. I'm glad I asked you. I got your answer.
I don't necessarily know that. I think it's difficult. If you are a legislator who is trying to find a job, it's pretty tough to find one anywhere else in those places, because you can do like one class a semester and make it work with your schedule. Yeah. What I will say is a problem from what the auditor has put out is UD and other institutions not following the law properly in sharing information on time, so you can actually track if someone's double dipping. And I know that was a problem for Lydia York as she was doing the investigation. So like, something's got to give. I don't know what it is, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I feel and again, you, I'll tell you the same thing, and you already know this. Like, I always know like a little bit about it, but I also don't know, because, like, and I sort of alluded to it when I brought up the topic, like, I don't necessarily disagree with people having like a few different state, like being an adjunct professor, right, Delaware and then
but if you're gonna say like, you're get cleaning it up and then exempt the majority of it, it's like, all right, like maybe don't do the bill then, maybe do something else,
figure something else out,
problem.
like, yeah, it's just like, it's always all of these carve outs and they're like, hey, yeah, we did the thing, HB fucking XXX, we did it, like, yeah, but you did.
Put it on
you
the
do.
Piece of lit. Put it on the lit.
Yeah, look, we did it. Well, oh my God,
bullet on
we did
the
it.
Lit.
Thank
yeah.
you for taking 3 months to, you know, write a, you know, pass a bill that affects 16 people. That's really, that's
hey,
awesome.
Hey, I have a bill like that.
I'm sorry.
Look, you're I'm trying to get you to pull that fireworks bill. You got to get that out of here.
I haven't even filed that yet.
Dude,
you're
trying
to throw
it right in the trash.
No.
But there are bills, like, okay, so there are bills that I read that I was like, this one makes sense. Like, no arguments, not even gonna, you know, question, was the bill that would make it so it was easier for adopted family members to adopt a child from a deceased relative. So like a grandparent or uncle, and it was like giving legal aid to them, like no notes. Yeah, fine.
Keeping families together. We love it.
Yeah, like, A, the benefit, the child's benefit, for one, of not going into the system of the foster care system, the state's benefit of what's the cost analysis compared to what the legal fees are comparative to what the foster care system is, and then what the subsequent mental health care is,
right,
because let's be honest about the foster care system while we're on the subject. So that one's kind of like a no-brainer. There's other ones that I had questions about, like Harrington is proposing the ability to put on a 3% tax for rentals, and they made it seem like they were doing it for vacation rentals, where I'm like, there's not a lot of people vacationing in Harrington, but okay. And then I was like, wait, are they putting a 3% tax on all rentals? Because there's not too much definition of like apartment rental or land trust rentals for like hunting clubs and things like that. And if they're doing that,
somebody's getting cut into a deal.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, like, I'm for that, but I would like a rent cap, because industry standard, because it is my industry, is 5-6% per year of increase. I would want to put a cap that you could do no more than 6%, so that at least that 3% gets passed on to the landlord, instead of just saying, yeah, you can put a 3% tax on top of it, which then gets passed to the tenant. But the, like I said, it doesn't define it enough where it's like, no, this is just for vacation rentals, because if
Rob, can you just lay the norms out for the space, right? We're not really supposed to talk dirty in the bunker, right?
Okay.
Dirty? What do you mean dirty?
Like suggestive, like, you know, evoking, yeah. Like this very wonky talk. It's getting my heart rate up a little bit.
It is funny because I almost stepped in. I was like, this is too technical. Get the fuck out of here.
We need more Delaware way. Just keep it real.
I will say this.
No, I love it. It's great.
One of the things, and as we started tonight, like this thing of like a lot of people say, there's this funny joke from way, way back. This must be a fucking 7 or 8 year old joke with Josh Whitaker. We had a thing at our house and there was a person. You know what? Let's fucking talk about it. Because I myself, I'm doing.
We don't know what you're talking about.
I know you don't.
You're acting like we were holding you back, dude.
Unplug his mic and just let him go.
Now, look, so this is going to be. I didn't know I was going to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it right now.
Yeah, I know what this is.
You know what it is, because I said Josh Whitaker, so you know what it is. So you know. So I've been using this sort of device about saying like people are suspicious of new people, mm-hmm. or they're on edge or whatever.
Mm.
I'll just say to myself, I am. And so I'm the one who is sort of nervous. And just to get back to the Josh Whitaker thing, Carrie spoke here, and of course I knew her before, and Josh and I were speaking in the kitchen, and he was like, well, what kind of like committees would she be on if she was like in the Congress or whatever? I'm like, who gives a shit? Like, we're in a fucking brawl. We're trying to score a fucking point. Who cares? Like, let's fucking fight.
We love you, Josh. That's funny.
I mean, but okay. The point is, Josh in this story is sort of vindicated because Carrie sucks, and so like whatever he was on to, like whatever that question means to like to sort of figure out who's gonna do what where. Whatever his suspicion or curiosity was about her, for however, he was correct. I was wrong.
Yeah. And on that note, I'm really excited about Riley. Just from the few minutes we've been in here, because I feel like Riley's going to bring a great perspective to housing issues that's needed in the Senate.
That's what my business is. Like, that's what the business I've been in for most of my adult life.
Yeah, but you're not just in the business. You have the right perspective despite being in the business. Because I think there's a lot of folks who often say like, oh, well, this is my industry. I know it, you know, inside out. And then they try to kill anything that would help.
So this is my industry, but I've also seen sobbing mothers, like, you know, trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And I've been that sobbing parent. You know, that's I hate to say a leg up, but part of my ascent to this point in my life, I am a product of social mobility brought upon by social programs of food stamps and Medicaid and things like that. And now I look at my eldest, who is at Florida Tech, because he wants to work for NASA. And he exists in a space where he benefited from these social programs. And to see things like that get cut when I can... Here I am. I'm somebody that I would not. Both of my sons were born before I was 20 years old. So I was this young kid with two. I was a baby with a baby. And so here I am in life at this point. You know, I was able to drag my way to a place of moderate discomfort, which is like the best you can get these days. You know, I own a house, which is rare for a millennial. But, you know, like, that's the thing. And I want to see that for District 1 as well. You know, when 20% of District 1 lives below the poverty line, I'm going to say the quiet part out loud here about Dan Cruz. What does he know about being in that area? What does he know about being in line and you brought the wrong WIC voucher? So now you have to put everything back because these are the ones that expired yesterday and you didn't put the right one in the envelope that you keep for this, that you go at, you know, 9:30 at night so you don't disturb the other shoppers and get from behind you. I don't think he does, but I do. And so I want to help not just the people that have, you know, the $500,000 Victorian mansion that's on Baynard Boulevard. I want to help the people that are live near, you know, Forman Mills, where their street collapses in every other fucking week. Like, that's who I want to represent. So I kind of am what District 1 is. I am the product of Wilmington. I am the product of Delaware. And I'm tired of seeing people go, I will fight for you as long as it's convenient for me.
I mean, I'm tired of seeing that too. I hope people understand, like, I mean, I'm sold on this. Because I think this is important, because what is Dan Cruz going to do? See how I use his real name there? Like, it's just so, I don't remember who said this, and if I did remember, I would say it. But we were having this conversation over the last week or so, and somebody's like, yeah, you know, I asked him, Cruz. It's like, I guess you made the best friends now. You got the you tallied up the score, and your friends equal more than this other person's friends or whatever. And he was like, oh, okay, yeah, you got me. And just like, is that what the fuck you're up to? I mean, is that what this is for? Like, is that what this is for? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's not what we're supposed to be doing. You know, and I know, we're too radical. We have radical ideas. Yeah, I have radical ideas, I guess. I mean, you maybe have dumb ideas.
How many, in quote, radicals have we whitewashed and, you know, venerate now? I mean, was Martin Luther King not a radical?
Yeah, everyone.
I mean,
they love the idea.
Alexander Hamilton was probably a radical. Probably. Not a radical, I mean, rapper. Look,
Federal Reserve, radical idea. We gotta,
like,
say.
It's just, it's a boring word to me at this point. Like,
well, I always go back to, okay, and this guys. Is something that Riley and I talked about before you got here, before Carl got here. I'm getting choked up even thinking about it because I know I'm going to get mad. But like, I always
want to ring
about,
the bell at my comment.
I always think, I always think about Mandela.
Stops resonating.
I always think about Mandela.
Oh no!
Because they called Mandela a terrorist.
Yeah,
radical. Now people, like certain people, think, oh, Mandela, oh, so good. But you know, like, so are you? What is radical, and what does that mean, and what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like,
I think radical nowadays they just define it to mean someone who's not a cynic. Someone who believes a better world is possible and actually puts effort into making it come to be. Like, somebody who, to dig back into Hillary Clinton's terrible book, somebody who thinks people deserve ponies if they want ponies. Like, you can say it's crazy to give everybody a pony or to give everybody that has a horse that's retired $3,000. But...
great callback.
You know, if you have the means to actually make that happen and people want ponies, why would you not try? Why would you laugh at someone who tries to make life better for people that are struggling? Why would you say that's radical when you can actually, instead of wasting the time telling someone to stop, to give up, to, you know, resign themselves to the status quo, why would you not put that effort into helping them, to encouraging them, or to just shutting the F up? Like, that's how I feel about it. Like, if you can't bring some kind of motivation to the space, just back up and be quiet. Like,
okay, so this is the last, this is the last part of it. It's because we sort of mentioned it. This is a Senate issue. It's a sort of a contentious issue. So here we go. Don't roll your eyes.
I think we're
eye.
On like five ways you can get me in trouble.
You can't just roll
for in one episode.
So are
bro.
We supposed
like,
to? Here's the thing.
I thought we were.
Here's
friends.
What I would ask Brian Townsend.
There's here, so many other here. Things we could have talked about the Eagles.
We could. We you know what?
We Super could have Bowl. Talked about Theo Vaughn having Cat Williams on. We could have talked about planes crashing.
I we tell people not to get in helicopters, don't I?
Delmarva charging everybody crazy amounts this month.
We could like, talk about how WFP is not endorsing in Senate District 1 or Senate District 5. We don't because it's boring.
All those things I mentioned are not boring.
Well, some of them are.
The Eagles. Not play.
No. The Eagles.
That's a great way.
No. Yeah. Go Birds.
Yeah.
Go Birds.
I mean, what are we gonna say? Whistle. Go Birds. We're all gonna be like, Go Birds. I mean, look, even John Carney's Go Birds.
Well, I was gonna make an announcement actually, if we were gonna talk about that topic.
Are you gonna be the place kicker for the Eagles in the Super Bowl?
No, but since we have a candidate in the bunker, I wanna make it clear that I'm also a candidate. I am running, if listeners that don't follow me on Twitter might not know, I'm officially running for a position in any box at the Super Bowl this Sunday. So if you know someone who has a box and they have space for me, I am a gifted conversationalist. I will offer my services for free, but I will likely lose my voice by halftime. So keep that in mind.
Medina for Super, hashtag Medina for Super Bowl. Medina Superdome. Medina the Bourbon
birds,
Street. Medina.
The birds are in the bowl, baby. Birds are in the bowl.
So the other thing is, I hate Kansas City, man. I hate them so much.
Yeah.
They stink.
Somebody said Sabrina Carpenter beating out Chapel Rowan is a good omen. PA beat Missouri.
Did you see?
Yeah.
There was a picture of Chapel Rowan, Sabrina Carpenter, and what's her name? Oh, my God. But it was like superimposed next to the Powerpuff Girls.
Oh,
what is her name? Billie Eilish.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Taylor Swift, and that would make me fall out of my chair laughing.
They compared the three, and I like busted out laughing.
That's funny. Who's Bubbles?
I like Billie Eilish. I don't even know what her music sounds like. I just like her vibe, like the backwards hat vibe. I just like that. She's just like, I'm doing what I want to do. But all of those people are Nepo babies. They're all like fancy, like.
Well, that's why we love them. This is Delaware.
That's true. We do love a Nepo baby.
We love
hit that
Nepo
bell,
baby.
Well,
everyone in the, like, when I don't know if I said it last time, when people ask for, because like, I have friends all over the country, like, what's Delaware really like? And I'm like, it's the biggest small town in the world. We're all related. We're all, if we're not related by like actual blood or marriage or cousins, we're friends with somebody that is related to you that way. Like, that's just kind of how it goes here.
We have the beach part and the city part, the farm part, all that
the
parts.
Suburban part where you know,
so
you send your kids.
I like what you tried to do. I do like,
damn,
what you tried.
I thought
to
I was
do.
Successful.
No, you did not. You were
he
not
remembered
successful.
Where he was going before my long damn. So, I scratched it off on my list too. I was
nope,
like,
nope, come on. How dare you, Medina?
Damn.
So, I don't know if you guys know this, but so Bethany Hall Long ran in a election, statewide election, against Matt Meyer. You guys might have remembered this. It was just like a few months ago. There's this guy, Colin O'Mara. He was here. He was in this room. Actually, Matt Meyer was in this room, too. We talk, you know, try to figure out what we're going to do. Whatever. Everybody knows that stuff. But what happened was Bethany lost pretty obviously. And all of her people, like this, there was this woman, I don't know if you know this, Val Longhurst. She was just elected Speaker of the House. There's a sticker here. I can't even find it. But anyway, she was just elected. And she got beat as well in an election. You can look it up. I mean, you can go right on the fucking internet and look it up. I'm not making this up.
I believe you.
It happened.
I don't
believe so like this is the world we're living in. It's sort of like Trump is the president. This is the world we're living in. Yet the state senate believes that Bethany Hall Long was the governor for 4 days, apparently.
2 weeks.
She wasn't just governor, Rob. She was the second female governor in state history and the first nurse governor in the history of our nation.
Again, this nurse governor thing, I do not feel that it has been fully vetted. I don't know how we can tell this. There's got to have been a nurse governor somewhere else. We don't even know.
Told you before, Florence Nightingale was never governor. That's how we know that she's the first.
The fucked up thing is I actually thought that. I was like, I wonder what Florence Nightingale.
She's in your history books in the same section as presidents, but she was actually never in elected
office.
Here's
the thing. The reason that the vice governor became the governor in this circumstance was because the governor got demoted to mayor.
Feels like Schoolhouse Rock.
But yeah, I did. You know what? This is the Schoolhouse Rock that people should have gotten.
Yeah. Yeah.
The governor got demoted to mayor so that a black woman wouldn't be mayor.
What would the...
and so, because of that, he was inaugurated 14 days, 13 days, 14 days, before the new governor was inaugurated. So there's a gap. So the vice governor has to be the governor. It just so happens that because of that fluke, the vice governor was the person who got her ass beat in the election we were talking about before. That person thinks that they had the authority to pack this very sort of important public-private money suck port, Diamond State Port Authority, with the worst people in the world. Now, some of the labor people are probably pretty good, right? Isn't that what we're saying?
I think everybody but Jeff Bullock.
Well, that's the
thing. Was a good choice, honestly. But wait, real quick. I feel like if there was a Schoolhouse Rock song for what you just explained,
he'll put it in.
It would be Janet Jackson, Control.
He'll put it in.
Because John Carney clearly has a control problem, and it'd be like, this is a song about control. Control of who owns the city. Control of who develops it. And this time, we're going to finish the job.
He's just going to put the music over that. It's going to be so good.
You guys can't see, but I'm doing the Janet Jackson moves.
She is.
Control.
She, really is, yeah. She is doing it, yes.
When he was 70 years old, he wanted to be mayor. Because for some reason, he doesn't want to have hair. He's got to have fallout. He likes control. Control.
This is the funniest thing that's ever happened here.
I have to bring this back under control. That includes his two sons. He hates the whole generation. So here's my question.
When I was a student,
so here's my stop doing your Janet Jackson. Stop doing your Janet Jackson.
And he was so disrespectful. He likes control. That's all he cares about. Control. And now you're gonna find out what he's gonna do to the city of Wilmington. Break it down.
Patreon.com/TheHighlandsBunker. You're not going to get shit like that anywhere else. Come on. That's Medina right there, dog.
That was an original made up on the spot.
That was fucking incredible.
Solely for the purpose of me not getting canceled by the Senate.
I still remember, though.
Yeah. I think we're at time, though. So nah, look at that. Look at
we're
me.
Not.
Squeaking by another
we're
trap.
We're not. We're
laid
not.
By Rob.
No, no. You're getting in. You're falling in this trap. Why are they doing this? Do you think? Would you just say that? Like I'm not trying to ask
I'll
a gotcha question.
I'll say
I'm
that.
Like, why?
That's not a secret.
Yeah, that like, you know, is it a personal thing?
No, I think. So I actually mentioned this a little bit on Chapo when I was on there, like what, a year and a half ago. There is a perception that Matt Meyer, well, for one, you guys know this, that everybody thinks Matt Meyer is anti labor unions. And the port has so many, like so many amazing jobs that pull families out of poverty and like are really well paying jobs. And there is this perception that Matt either doesn't want to continue the projects at the port, that he's not going to follow through on the expansion, that he's going to put someone in on the board who will undermine that work. And what's frustrating to me is just that I feel like no one is saying what is the quiet part out loud. I'm not really sure why.
So I actually kind of have a working.
Hold on one second. What is the quiet part out loud?
That's what I just said. There are people who think that Matt Meyer is going to put Alan Levin in instead of Jeff Bullock. And
well, they both stink.
I didn't say either of them didn't. I'm just saying, like,
they're both garbage.
If I were Matt Meyer, I would have put forward my choices, and I would have just taken the wind out of that argument completely. Like, people think that he's anti-labor union, that he's going to put people on that are, and the other thing is like, okay, if you do believe that, you can still let him nominate terrible
you know, choices and then just don't confirm them, which is that a Schoolhouse Rock song?
It is. And you I'm know? Sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to get to the
checks and balances.
I wanted to make sure I understood what you were saying. And that's fair enough. I mean, first of all, as I said, I don't know why anybody – this whole idea that the labor unions in Delaware are what they – are like this bastion of leftist thought, they're not. But they've pulled a lot of people out of poverty, and we want to make sure that they continue with what they're doing. But like – I see in the Delaware – in the Delaware Way context, I see no difference between Jeff Bullock and Alan Levine.
I don't either.
Difference between the two of them.
And I find it frustrating that we're, you know,
okay. I you know what? Know You're not. Can... There's no way you can be canceled over this.
No, what I'm about to say is not. It's not cancelable. And I mean, I mentioned earlier, you know, many have tried, few have done it. You know, to cancel me. But like, can't we just like, can't Matt just put his choices out there and prove them wrong? And if he can't, then it begs the question, how bad are those choices going to be, right? Like, it kind of feeds into that argument.
That's true.
And then the other side can just say, you know what, it was weird that our governor was so obsessed with control that he could not just be governor and then go away. He had to be mayor. So now we have this weird 2-week period where the real governor at the time puts these nominations forward. Like, you could just not confirm them and then wait for Matt to give his choices and then be like, these are bad choices. And you could still blow him up about it, you know, in the social media page, you know.
Right, but you have to look like you're with Bethany and Carney. Like, that's the thing, because you could do what you said.
I don't think
and accomplish the same thing about standing up to Meyer if it's not sufficiently labor, if it's not sufficiently, like, if it's, you know, doesn't help your people. You can stand up to him whenever you need to stand up to him. But you stood up to him in a context where a literal lame duck dipshit was the governor by fluke of calendar. And you're like, this is when I'm going to stand up. You're standing up because you want to look like you're part of the status quo. You want to look like you're part of the Val Longhurst, Bethany, like, we still got you, bro. We still got you. We're still going to look like fucking fools.
I don't know. You could have
accomplished the same thing.
I thought that at first, but I have talked to some people since I did maybe put something on the record last week out of rage. Which, you know, is never.
I do that like almost every week.
It's never a good time to do that. But I have talked to some folks, and I really don't feel like that's the main motivation. I do think that it is concern about the port and the future of the port. And there's a lot of rumors swirling around. You know, what does Matt want to do with the port? Is he going to actually follow through with this? And people who don't think Jeff Bullock is great are still saying, we think he's, you know, we need continuity, and you know, don't switch horses midstream.
Yeah, we're trying to switch horses in right at the very end, actually. Actually, I love switching horses.
$3,000 a year.
Switch fucking horses, as far as I say.
Yeah, I mean, I will point out that in the 7 years or so that I've been, or 8 years that I've been, like, involved in state politics, there's been like at least three different operators of the port.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if Jeff Bullock is the continuity that we want, but he may be the continuity that we deserve.
and this is, I'm going to give Riley sort of the last word, but I do want to say, because I know this will get back to him in some fashion, Kay Baker needs to come into the new bunker and sort of talk about this port stuff. Because he is the one sort of journalist in this area who understood what that was from the beginning. Like, now it's a thing where they're trying to give as much money as ever been given, like $200 million or something.
Well, part of the money though is legitimate investment in upgrading the infrastructure so that we can compete, and that. Like, I think that.
But are they going to use the port and Edgemore? I mean, is that something but we're handing it over to people who couldn't make it work for the last 10 years.
No, we're not.
It's a new. We're on. I think we're on the third operator.
Yeah. Continuity, though. We're not trying to. Continuity means losers. Mm. New means new. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, like why? Like Jeff Bullock was in charge of selling it to the UAE. Jeff Bullock was in charge of doing this and that. Like, he was part of where it is today. It's like I feel like that's the whole. If the whole point is to like start fresh with this money. Then Bethany's pick of Jeff Bullock is stupid.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like,
I'm not arguing against that. Yeah. And you know, why not? I'm already on fifth way to get canceled. Why not?
You know, we love you.
So
thank you for doing.
One thing that I do feel is really important to the context too is the fact that Jeff Bullock has admitted that he doesn't eat fruit because it's too sweet.
What?
I think you told me this before, but
I can't not think of it whenever his name is mentioned. It's the first thing that pops up.
Have we ever in my head? This is crazy.
He said it to my face. What do you mean?
This is crazy.
At a Christmas party. It wasn't even a secret.
No peaches, no apples, no grapes.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm being transported back to Woodburn. I remember where I was standing when he said it to me, and it was so crazy that I pulled someone over and was like, say that again. Like, I've said it to people, like, next to him. Like, that's, like, how I introduce him to people. Because it's just, I feel like it says a lot about you as a person. Like, most people, if not all people, struggle with self-control when it comes to sweets or unhealthy things.
And he was like... And fruit's not even, like, fruit.
Bro.
That's natural sugars.
He did not say Cinnabon is too sweet. He didn't say Oreos are too sweet. He said he eats clementines. Because they come through the port, and he tries to support the Moroccan clementines that come through the port, but he never finishes one, and it's every once
in
a while.
Bite. It's one.
They're too sweet. They're too sweet, bro. I can't believe I just said that on the air, but it's been eating me up for like 3 years.
I had something I wanted to say, but now I'm fucking befuddled over here.
It's like it's disturbing. I don't know how else to put that. Like, look,
I'm just giving you my first.
You're gonna put a guy who doesn't eat fruit in charge of the port?
Of a fruit port, yeah.
And he's supporting he's only doing it to support
bananas.
The port.
Bet you money.
He's saying I'm supporting the port, but I'm actually an absolute freak.
Something you shouldn't admit.
So, no, you should not be telling people that. Now, I guess he's...
Some
that's
people
his
say, like, oh, yeah, you
what
know,
I
you know, I eat
that's
my scabs.
His,
bro, what did you just say?
That's his story.
What?
That's his story of telling you that he does something to support the port, even though it's like...
So he's making it sound like poor me. Like, I don't even like
fruit. No, he made himself out to be, like, a hero, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a martyr for eating a fucking clementine.
He's a martyr. He's an orange martyr because of the port.
Oh, man. I'm going to get in trouble for this.
Okay. Look, let's wrap it up. We're going to have some conversations after this. I know this was good. Like, I'm sorry for everybody saying, like, the podcast isn't good. And I hate it. I'm so mad. I hate that they're coming to Leg Hall. I hate that they're doing this. I hate the fucking new bell. All that stuff. You hate it all. Guess what? We're going to do it another 5 fucking years just because you hate it. So just you might as well just go to patreon.com/thehighlandsbunker and give us $5 a month.
Rob, before you do the closeout completely,
okay.
Can we talk about, I said on an earlier episode I was going to bring you a gift for the new studio.
You did.
I did.
I got it. You gave it to me. I'm not going to mention it. You gave
it
to me
already. But there's another piece that I want to add to it, which is my youngest sister, Rayanne Wilson, was starring this past weekend and should be starring again the coming weekend at Newark Charter High School, as Donna in Mamma Mia, which is Meryl Streep's character. And she was absolutely phenomenal. And I'm not just saying that because she's my sister. I'm obsessed with her now. And I'm giving you a playbill because she's going places. And this is going to be worth money someday.
Nice. She's going to be a Tish girl in 2 years.
This is awesome. This is it. Does she sign it or no?
No, I can do that if you want.
Ooh, I would like
get her to do that. But I can also send recordings because I recorded like audio of almost every solo. And it's really good. She's really good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was getting all this. The other stuff you got me, I enjoy very much.
I held one back.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You going to let Riley have the last one?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So, February 15th. Not this Saturday when this comes out, But the next Saturday, we're voting on whatever line it says. It's just one line. You know, it's, this is so fucking easy. You don't have to even think about it. You see, you go over, you look at the line. Where's Riley Figliola? You look. Riley Figliola. Oh, there she is. And then you fucking push the button there. That's it. That's all you have to do. Last word. Honestly, give it to us.
I'm kind of still on the port thing. I'm not going to lie here. Because you two are talking about, certain people in charge of the port, and you ask why. And as somebody that has spent literally most of my life in manual labor, that's not really the question that people need to be asking when it comes to, unions and things like that. It's more along the lines of ask why that not, they pick the people they do. Ask why the Democrat Party is so adverse to what is considered dirty work. And I'm not talking about, dark money. I'm saying, work that, the Democrat Party on the whole is constantly losing the people that they actually work for. And as somebody that, I used to work in a steel fabrication shop. I was a CNC machine loader, and I also did chrome plating and plasma coating. I used to literally be covered in steel slag head to toe, and then pick up my kids at daycare, and the other kids would giggle because their parent would come in clean as a whistle, and I would come in filthy. But that's because dirty work, and you might want to call it manual labor, you can call it blue collar, is kind of frowned upon, especially in the state that it revolves so clearly around the banking system, that when it comes to the port, it's kind of like a hand wave of yes, we have to give, the poors their jobs too, so they can, survive and, not bitch so much. And that's kind of that sentiment that a lot of people who are blue collar feel from the Democrat Party is one of the reasons why they're able to be snowed, because at least the Republicans make a fucking show about it. It's bullshit. They don't mean it either. If anything, they mean it less. But they have better branding, and that is why when you're dealing with people at the port, they don't trust Democrats. So why would they trust somebody that a Democrat leader puts and says, hey, this is your boss now?
Yeah, I mean, it's not wrong.
Especially if you don't eat fruit. I mean,
you don't fucking
what? Come on. That guy's actually. He's never had a Chiquita banana? Out of control. Medina, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, well.
You fucking crushed
it. I'll have a lot of time after this.
We had a solo.
You're not going to get. You're uncancelable. Everybody knows you're uncancelable. Come on.
The Jackson family's going to come after you now. There used to be five of them, but you're
Riley, thank you for coming back in and being subjected to the full. Now you've been subjected to the full.
Shit, yeah. I'll come back next week too. We'll do this every week.
I think I don't. We cannot continue to allow the the status quo people to just push through with no mandate of the people, whoever they want, just to keep whatever the system is alive. You can't treat people like widgets or numbers in a fucking Excel cell. And so everybody knows what to do now. Riley on the 15th. That's it. And then we just go from there. So thank you for coming back in.
Thank you for having me.
Carl, thank you for always checking me, telling me when I'm wrong, saying Working Families Party hasn't endorsed anybody here or there. Just fucking raining on every parade I can think of. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Also, thank you for, this is actually sincere, thank you for basically taking the lead on coordinating that rally on Saturday.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thank you for doing that, because I thought it was great. I thought it, in a week's turnaround time, you fucking killed it. Got people out on a cold day at Rodney Square. You also got Keandra McDowell out to talk about NOCAP. Thank you for that. But yeah, you really fucking crushed it there. So it should be said. You're welcome. Yeah, and there wasn't a chant there, but there should have been a chant. I should have let it, actually. You know what the chant would have been? Left is best.